Welcome to the Folk Roots Radio Sessions. I'm Jan Hall. Join us every week for an hour-long conversation with artists about their music. Coming up, singer-songwriters Marianne Gerard and Alan Fraser are now plying their trade as Fraser and Gerard. We're pleased to welcome them into the studio today for an in-depth conversation and a few songs. For more information about Folk Roots Radio, visit folkrootsradio.com. Well, we're here in the studio at the farm with Marianne Gerard and Alan Fraser. They're going to be playing a few songs for us. We're also going to be chatting about their music. You guys have a very interesting story because you've been involved in the folk music scene for, what, 30-odd years each? I mean, I don't want to sort of date you too much. But
since 1950.
Yeah. You've been around the scene a long time, and I think your paths probably crossed quite a bit, did they, over the years?
Well, Alan's a little older than me. So actually, I was watching him perform before I even started to perform and was inspired by his duo, Fraser and DeBolt, as were many people. So I wouldn't say we crossed paths then, you know, it was just me watching and him not knowing who I was. And I'm not sure when that started, though, when we started actually say hello. But at conferences and different backstages and things, he's always been kind of an aloof guy, you know.
I don't know about that.
So when did you decide to start playing together? I mean, had you played much together before that?
Never. Well, no. Oh. So 2 years ago, August 11th was kind of the official merging of minds and hearts.
I had lived in Montreal and around Montreal in Sherbrooke and south of Montreal in Hemmingford and then in Montreal for 17 years. And I moved to Quebec when I was a teenager and had lived in and around Montreal most of my life since then, except for a 5-year stint in Toronto at for career reasons. And then I came back to Toronto after my wife had passed away and my children had all grown up. So I moved back to Toronto to be with near my friends and contacts in the music business. And that's when, about just a few months in, I decided to go and see Paul Mills, who produced our album. He's a guitarist and a song. I don't know if he writes. Yeah, he writes a song.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And he was playing with Joanne Crabtree. And
at the Free Times.
Yeah, and I'd been in touch with them on the internet, and so I decided to go and make contact with them at that point, and Marianne was there. And she came right up, you know, and said, hey, how you doing? And so then she went back and sat with her table at the back of the room. I was sitting right up at the lip of the stage, but I kept looking back, and I thought, wow, it's really great to see her again, because I'd seen her at the Transac, and
yeah, I had a monthly thing at the Transac for a couple of years, and every fourth Sunday, and Alan came once. I was with Robert Priest and Max Layton, so Robert Priest, poet and rock poet, and Max Layton, also Irving Layton's son, poet and singer-songwriter. And we had every fourth Sunday monthly thing at the Transac called Three Wordsmiths. So Alan came down once.
Well, I used to be in a band with Robert. We had a band called the Deaf Aids.
Oh, that must have been very entertaining.
Oh, it was. It was a really good show, and I was knocked out. He split right after,
yeah. which is kind of the kiss of death when you're a performer, for someone to just kind of get out quickly. Well. So I thought, oh my God, he hated it. And then, but then shortly after that, I saw him at the Free Times, and yes, he decided that was that night, August the 11th, that we were like destined, but it took me longer, but I'll go along with that. And August 11th is fine. Yeah.
So you met and then you started to play. I mean, I'm just trying to,
We talked, and I came over to visit a couple of weeks later. I played some songs, and that was kind of it.
Anyway, we sat down in the living room where I was rooming, and Marianne and I played her my new songs. And she was very receptive, and she played me some of her songs, and I just thought, this is going to be a great mix. And so we forged ahead right at that point. It was funny, immediate.
You know, when I look back on it, I don't quite know how it happened. It just sort of happened, you know? We didn't even say, oh, wow, we should be a duo. It just kind of happened.
Very natural fit with us, I think. It's.
I think he started. Then he came to the Transact to play, and we started to, workshop things at that monthly thing that I did, and then it very, very quickly started performing. So it was immediate, you know. And Paul Mills came to hear us and was really excited about it. He was actually excited the second time he came, because the first time he came, he said, yeah, that's good, sounds, you know, it's good. And then the next time he came to see us was about 3 months later, and he just went, oh, this is really getting good, because he saw that we'd practiced.
He said, you're so much more a band now.
Yeah.
Two guitars. And
learning new songs, learning harmonies, and doing all of that.
Oh, it's been a pleasure to put it all together, and I love Marianne's material as much as my own, and so that's what it takes. You've got to love the process, because it's going to be a lot of repetition and a lot of determination involved, and if you're not enjoying it, then you can't do it, really. But when the mix is good like this, it's a pleasure to do. I ran into Paul Mills, with whom I had worked in my 30s, and again, about 15 years later, I had some really nice sessions with him when he was working with the CBC. He and Bill Garrett used to be in charge of all the acquisition of equipment for the CBC in Canada. He was there for decades, and he recorded everybody. And when I worked with him, it was always so great, because he's so professional, and you can just relax, and he's very fluent with musicians. He hires the very best musicians, and he handles them so that they can give their best. And it was just a situation of mutual respect and real enjoyment working with him. So I told him, I think maybe Marianne Gerard and I are putting something together. And he said, I can really hear that. I'd like to hear that when you start to get it together.
It immediately was fun. It was fun playing, and it felt right. Yeah,
I knew, you know, like because Marianne plays really solid guitar and really musical, and the songs are strong and the voice is really fabulous, I think. But the guitar, and I could hear the two acoustic guitars, and right away I thought acoustic bass and these two guitars, our songs combined, it's going to be a beautiful project, and now it's become a life's work, I hope.
You mentioned guitars. We have guitars in the studio today. Why don't we start with the song? What are you going to play for us?
Oh, well, this is always a good opener, Picov. Yeah. It's Picov Downs. So this is a song about quarter horse racing and gambling and everything that goes together with being in a relationship where one is a gambler. Quarter horse racing. Quarter horse is the fastest horse, if not the fastest thing on four legs, for 1/4 mile. And although they can run more than 1/4 mile, but that's their thing, because they were bred to dash. And there's the remains of a quarter horse racetrack in Pickering called Picov Downs, and it's now Ajax Downs. Beside it is the big, huge standardbred racing track and casino. But there's still the remains of the old barn and the old track, and it's called Picov Downs with the quarter horse racing. And it's really beautiful and nostalgic, because I grew up in the country, and I grew up when a lot of colts were coming in off the prairie and people were buying them, and a lot of rodeos and things. So, and I never had one. I never got a horse. I still want one. I still want a horse.
It's not too late.
But there was always horses to ride. I always had lots of horses. I just get on them. I learned to ride by getting on and going. So it was, yeah. So that's what this song is about. 3, 4.
up with your morning dew. Take me to Pico Downs with you. All the pretty ponies, how they fly. Come on, baby, got money on your name. Sunshine's on your gold Palomino, man. The only thing that keeps your step inside is a quarter mile, 1/4 mile. Dust in my mouth, stone in my shoe.
That's Fraser and Gerard with Peacock Downs on Folk Roots Radio today. They are our special guests in the studio at the farm. That was absolutely fabulous.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Now, that's your song, Marianne,
right?
That's
my song, yeah.
But I think I'm going to get an Alan song next.
Yes.
Can we get an Alan song?
Yes.
TWA used to be this airlines in the States. I was traveling in the States and... I remember there was this huge rainstorm, and the maid was cleaning the room up, and I was watching her make the bed, and this rain was just pelting down, and I got the idea for this song when I got home, actually, I think. I went back to that, and it was this super deluge of rain in just outside St. Louis. It's the time of the Kent State killings, I remember. We played, and then somebody jumped on the stage. We were playing this student, this university, this college they call them in the States. And so we were playing at noon, doing a matinee, and this guy gets on the stage and grabs the microphone and says, "The music is great and everything, people, but our brothers and sisters are lying dead in the street at Kent State. How do you feel about that?" And I remember looking, and they were all like so blissed out on the music. They were going, So he gave the microphone back to me, and we continued. But anyway, the song's called Outside St. Louis. Nice, concise introduction there. Marianne's blinking. Where did that come from? One, two, three. Are you ready? One, two, three, one.
Well, I was up. Oh, jeez, I was ready.
One, two, three.
Well, I was outside St. Louis when I heard the news. You had inherited the St. Louis blues. I transplanted them up to the north. They're still flying back and forth.
That's Fraser and Gerard live on Folk Roots Radio today with Outside St. Louis. I'm actually pleased that, Alan, that you actually gave us that introduction, because you really get a good feel for the song with actually the long version of the introduction.
I've never given the introduction that way before.
Yeah. No, he hasn't. I've never heard that story before.
At least you didn't have to harmonize.
So when you got together, you obviously had songs that each of you had written. Are the songs on the album that you have written together so far?
No, we've only... arrangements we have collaborated on, but they're each individually our own songs, and we're only just beginning to do that, in fact, because we each have a lot of songs, and I have a lot that I felt that they didn't sound finished, or I wasn't happy with them, and they just didn't sit well with me. But as soon as Alan started playing them with me, it was like, oh, this sounds like a real song. So there's a lot of that that's going on, and in a sense that's almost rewriting them.
That's true.
But to sit down and actually share lyrics and melody ideas together, that's still new.
Yeah, we've done one that is really a collaboration like that, but Marianne's done the same with my material too, where, you know, often a song has a wart. I call them warts, musical warts, because every time you sing the song, it kind of, you know, it doesn't quite scan right, or it's just too purple or yellow or something. It's like just you get off the idiom a little too far, or musically the reference is a little stilted. And you can play a song like, you still play the song, but every time you hit it, you kind of put your teeth on edge a little bit. And Marianne can come in and take a song like that, and she feels it right away. And then, I mean, it's been great. I think a couple of the songs on the album there really owe a lot to her. I thought, you know, it's almost a co-write situation, because she said no, and she said, I wouldn't even tell her, you know, there's a wart there.
I would know her.
And she would say, you know, that doesn't work too well. And I, oh yeah, sorry, you noticed. And then, you know, but she got a solution. So this is great.
Oh, he would not say that. He would say, oh no, I don't think so.
Oh yeah, was I defensive? Well, you know, these are my children. These songs are my children.
I sense there's going to be a certain amount of adjustment before you can actually sort of write together, because you have a lot of experience as individual
and different different styles and different ways of approaching it and different.
I love listening to Marianne practice, though, because she practices. You know, we practice individually, and it's hard to actually get. To sit, we're making a concerted effort to sit down more, like almost every day, or to play at least for half an hour or something, because we've noticed that we still, as separate artists, we practice separately. So, and we're taking guitar lessons. We have this wonderful guitar teacher in Toronto that plays jazz guitar, and he's got these great long fingernails. I'm really envious of. I'm going to start getting my nails done.
Chris Reed is his name. He's never recorded, and he's just wonderful.
And he's teaching us some. It's really going to be. I mean, it's really been. We've only had a couple of lessons, but we practice separately, and then we have to make a concerted effort to sit down together, and because we're doing everything. We do our management and our
promotion, song, marketing.
Publishing and so it's multifaceted when you're at this stage, and then hopefully we can start, you know, giving people that work to do for us. But at this point, we're doing the whole thing, so it takes. We're on the computer a lot. We sort of divvy up the tasks, and it's been very productive, but it's also very demanding and very exhausting. So. At the end of the day, man, all we want to do is watch Netflix and drink a bottle of wine.
I suppose there is that danger of feeling that you're actually spending so much time on the business of of the band, in this case the duo, that you actually don't have enough time to practice.
Or energy. Or energy. It's not a matter of just sitting down and playing. You want to have the inspiration and energy, and quite frankly, anything... And on the internet is just saps the energy. You know, anything on a computer for hours, it's difficult. We'd much rather have those hours being creative.
You're listening to Folk Roots Radio. on CFRU 93.3 FM and streaming at cfru.ca. We talked before the break about the fact that it's hard to find the time to play. Can we talk a little bit about the live experience? Because you do play dates together, and I think you've got a few coming up. Tell us a little bit about your live performance.
Well, we enjoy it very much. I do. I love playing. I love playing with Alan. Ideally, as long as we're relaxed and not worried if the sound is not totally together, and not, you know, just doing what we do. Since we started playing, I wanted to keep what happens between us in the living room and put that on the stage. So I work hard towards that. Just staying relaxed, staying very connected, and performing, you know, so that, and I think that audiences really respond to that, because I think so.
I used to record in downtime at Hallmark Studios, which was the only studio in Toronto at the time where you could record a symphony orchestra. This is a great cavernous studio, and the engineers told me the same thing about Gordon Lightfoot. He said, you know, he'd heard him say a couple of times that's what he's after, is that at home living room sound, you know. And so when Marianne said that, I thought, yeah. I mean, I tend to get on. As soon as I got an audience, I get a boost, and I go flying off. So, but we're working on that.
Does that mean that you have to dial it?
A very long elastic that I go snap.
So you have to kind of dial it back a little bit.
It's our strength and our power is about what we do, and not showtime entertainment energy. You know, we have that too. We're quite funny. But the connection of the music and us playing it, and the relaxedness, but with big energy, is what I'm constantly working towards. And even physically, being close on the stage, and I'll move in very close. And that started because
physically close to me.
Physically close to you. So I that started when we were on a stage, and I was. Like, it was like, hello, he's, you know, way over there. And I just moved over. and for the longest time, he got, oh, you're crowding me. And he'd move back, you're crowding me.
Well, I remember at the conference there when we did the Folk Music Ontario conference. Was that last year?
Probably.
But we did it without a sound system. I mean, you often do, you know. It's often just in a hotel room. And there might only be four people there, but they can be very significant. You're showcasing, you're not performing. So it's a different kind of performance altogether, if a performance at all. You say your name after every song, and if they walk out, it's not personal. But anyway, Marianne would back right up to me where, you know, if I didn't move, she was going to be on my strings.
He says.
No, it was
he
really
says.
Odd. So anyway, we're working
says.
All this out.
So, yeah, it's really important, just even the physical. And I think it creates a really strong energy. And I saw that once on a stage a long time ago at the Sudbury Folk Festival, the Festival Borealis. It was a nighttime concert, and it was a couple. They were Quebecois, but they spent a long time in South America, and they came back and were playing the South American music. She had a wind instrument and was quite far away from him, and she just, I could tell, she just wanted to be close to him. And she walked across and was stood beside him. And I thought that was the most powerful thing I'd ever seen, was just that one movement. That always, I always kept it in my head. I need
you
to feel
that.
And see what we do in the living room. And if it sounds great in the living room, it's going to sound great on stage.
My thing is to not get in the way of the music. I don't want my ego or my neuroses to sully the performance for people. I want them to really get the magic of what it's one of the highest things in our life, and we're trying to share it unadulterated.
So when you put the set list together, there's 11 tracks on the Fraser and Girard album. We've talked about the fact that there's some Marian songs, there's some Alan songs. Do you also dip into your back catalogue as well for your set list for the shows you do now?
Yes, we have songs that will probably, well, they're from my catalogue and from Alan's catalogue that will probably be on the new album. So we're working on those already. And yes, and songs that might not end up on the album, but that we're playing well together. Yeah.
Can we play another song, Lara, just now? What would you like to play for us?
Would you like to do the Mighty Penny?
Sure. Tell them the story. That's
okay. So this is called the Mighty Penny Blues. One of my accounts is with PC Financial. Our account. It's our account with PC Financial. We worked quite hard through the whole financing of the album, and it saw a fair amount of traffic. And I went and looked at the account online, and I saw there was a payment went through from PayPal, which was confusing too, because there was an exchange. The payment was in Canadian, but PayPal is American. So anyway, it turns out it went through the savings account, and I noticed there was one penny short in the account for this payment, and they charged me $45 for this one penny. So here we are in this age of no pennies, and they charged me $45 for a penny. There was another checking account, which they could have taken the penny out of, maybe, if they needed the penny. I phoned customer service, and they said, oh, no, sorry, it's our policy.
I heard her on the phone saying, it's a penny. It's a penny. Like that five times. Well, yeah, but it's just one penny. It was hilarious.
And so I said, is there any point me talking to your supervisor? And he says, no. I said, oh, okay, great. So I went on Facebook. I didn't really know what to do about it. I was fed up and tired, and I thought, I can't handle this today. So I went on Facebook, and I just said, I just got dinged $45 for a one penny overdraft. So I got so much response of people replying to that and commenting and their problems with banks and da la la la. And so I thought, wow, this is a good topic. But then someone, Kate Vanderhorst, Jan Vanderhorst's wife, she said, phone Sean O'Shea, and she posted his information.
Global News.
In the comments with his contacts and everything. And I went, it's $45. Who's going to go after $45? So I thought, oh, what the hey. And I messaged him on Facebook. He got back to me immediately. He sent his phone number. He said, call me. And I called him. And it was a Thursday day. And I called him. And he was all fired up to come that, like then. We live in Orangeville. And he's in Toronto. To come to Orangeville then. And to get it on the show for Thursday night.
It's like 50 miles.
Yeah, it ended up not working out. But he says, I really like this story. I really want to do this story. So I told him the story, what happened. And they phoned PC. And the representative said to them, oh, no, she's not telling you the whole story. There's more to this story than she's telling you. It's confidential. I can't say why, but she's not telling you the whole story. So they told me that. And I went, it's a penny. There's not 10 pennies, not 800 pennies. It's here on my statement that I photocopied.
Documented.
Printed off.
Irrefutable.
It's a penny. So he says, oh, the story's getting better, you know. So they came. The camera crew came to our little apartment and on the Monday and did the story. And but meanwhile, we wrote this song, and we weren't going to because we don't really write topical songs, especially at the spur of the moment, you know, in a day. And we were going to maybe change the words to pennies from heaven or something just to make it funny. But this song came out, but by the time he got to our place on the Monday, so Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we had this song, and it's called The Mighty Penny Blues.
To see what I could see, I saw a whole lot of trouble staring back at me. customer service. Is it some kind of scam? He said it's the president's policy. It's irreversible, man, cause it's a penny. One mighty penny, can't you see? He said it's one whole penny and it means that much to me. Global News. I said I got a problem. It's the mighty penny blues. I gave them all the details, the entire storyline. 20 minutes later, you know everything was fine. Cause he got my penny. He got my penny back for me. Oh, that must be some penny, cause it ain't even currency. Just one penny, one mighty penny, yes indeed. You know they got so many, so why you coming after little old me?
That's Fraser and Gerard with the Mighty Penny Blues live on Folk Roots Radio today. They are our special guests in the studio at the farm. Will that end up on an album, or is that always going to be one of those songs that will maybe, I don't know, is it out as a single?
Can no, no. It's only
be on this next
property
album.
Of Global News mm-hmm. right now, but it's on our site. With the producer ended up making a whole video because they only used a little snippet of it on the news flash. But the producer of the show ended up making a whole nice video of the song for us with sound effects of pennies falling and cash registers ka-ching and a siren. You know, now they're coming after me. The siren is really cute.
So did the matter get resolved?
Oh yes. They denied that they would ever let anything like that happen, and paid me back and gave me points, PC points.
Of which I get half. So that was our one co-write so far. We were sitting there just like Lennon McCartney Jagger and Richards. She'd sing us a line and she said, "Well, play some blues, maybe, you know." So we started and got one line, and then she got the next one, and then I got the next one, and then we were cracking up, you know. So it was really fun to collaborate. It's hard to write a song with someone.
So it's quite possibly will be on the next album because we play it and it's fun, and when it sits well, we think, yeah, it's a deviation from what we do. We're very serious, you know.
I want Larry Kurtz to play some harmonica on it, maybe.
That would be great.
We were thinking of doing a local, like in Orangeville, there's lots of musicians around, maybe getting a local production happening, you know, because it's a local thing. But it quite possibly be on the next album.
Yeah, I make lists of songs compulsively. I leave them around.
We have time for about two more live songs today. And I'm going to see if we can play a couple that I'd love to hear. One is My Name is Carol. That's a very interesting song. I'd love you to tell us a little bit about that one. That's another Marianne song, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was another song that I never... Isn't it? It's funny because it's such a well-received song. And it was one that I... for some reason didn't sense the power of it until Alan started playing it with me. So Carol, My Name is Carol. I lived on Lake Simcoe in a town called Keswick for 18 years, and that's where I raised my two daughters.
and the town was growing rapidly, and it was getting harder for people to survive. It was a little cottage town, and so all these cottages were being renovated into bigger homes and sold for more money, and a lot of people were coming up from Toronto for commuting. And so the people who lived in the core were getting pushed further and further outside, and it was harder to live there. And one woman, she was perhaps in her 30s at the time, and she had cerebral palsy, was able to maneuver, was mobile, but for any kinds of distances, she needed to be in a wheelchair. And she used to, for extra money, collect pop bottles and beer cans and pop cans and go and trade them. But I used to see her down along the lake shore, the lake drive, doing this in her chair, and was so stunned, really, by this, by the survival and the strength. And I also watched one day, we were down at the lake, down at the beach, and watched her get out of her chair and walk towards the water and get in the water, and she was just in ecstasy with this water around her, you know, and I was so blown away that I wrote this song.
Garden, I do okay.
the sun sets each end of day down by the water. Oh, the water wraps all around me like a lover's skin. Oh, the water, take me to the water. Remembers when, oh, the water, take me to the water, I hope the water remembers when. My name is Carol.
My name is Carol from Fraser and Gerard Live on Folk Roots Radio. That is a beautiful song. I absolutely love that one.
Thank you.
Certainly resonates very strongly with me. I want to get that other song in that I was hoping you would play. And I do realize I'm putting you on the spot, but it's the song that John Oates covered, and that's Dancehall Girls.
Yes.
Tell us a little. That's an Allen song, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that one.
That's my hit, a medley of my hit. I wrote that when I was like 18. I was living in Hamilton at the time, and it's a song that has been played on NPR repeatedly on Prairie Home Companion. People often come in and play it. There's another song of mine too called "Waltz of the Tennis Players" that they've stressed a lot there. Americans automatically think it's about Baltimore, Maryland, but it's actually about Baltimore, Ontario, where I'm from Nova Scotia, and every summer a lot of people would leave the Maritimes and come up to Ontario, the farmland, and harvest the crops because there was so much unemployment, and I guess they still do, and from Quebec too. And I was living in Quebec and coming up to Toronto for shows and to be with my friends, and who from Sherbrooke. I had a friend living in Hamilton, and I was staying at his place. And when I wrote the song, he came out of his bedroom. He said, "Man, that song, that's a hit. But it's about Baltimore, Ontario. It's called These Dance Hall Girls." I used to call it the Maritime Migrants Song, but now it's pretty well known as Dance Hall Girls. Dance hall girls, they'll treat you kind. They'll give you their bodies, but you'll never reach their minds. They'll fill you up with lipstick lies, then they put you down. Don't be surprised. Is this the way it always is here in Baltimore? Well, I've held her mountains and I've kissed her plains. I've touched her sunlight and I drank her rain. I bent so far, then I broke too fast. Winner picked, I came in last again. Is this the way it always is here in Baltimore? I must have chosen the wrong season to come down. I never realized they call this sacred. Sense of time, it's way behind. I sent a letter home, but this'll all take time, you know. I wanna get some money so I can go back home. These damn
sense of time, boys. Hell, I'm a week behind. But give me their bodies, but you'll never reach their minds. They fill you up with lipstick lies. These dance hall girls say they can't stand to see a grown man cry. Is this the way? Here in Baltimore, oh, singing, is this the way it always is? Here in Baltimore, I'll buy a drink. Is this the way it always is? Here in Baltimore.
Fraser and Gerard live on Folk Roots Radio with Dance Hall Girls. It's been an absolute pleasure having you join us today.
Thank you. It's been really nice. Thank you.
If people want to learn more about your music, how can they do that?
Well, they can, of course, go to our website.
What else do you need? FraserandGerard.com.
Yes, and from there is all of the other links that who we know for whatever anyone wants. And get on our mailing list. So we send out a newsletter periodically. We don't barrage the email with useless news. Just, you know, when we have gigs, when we have important things coming up that people are interested in, if we're going to be touring. So that's probably the best way, is to get on the website, the mailing list, and our gigs are always posted. So if they're in your area, come out and see us.
That's great. You mentioned that you're starting to work on a new album. I know that Fraser and Gerard, the debut self-titled album, has just been released this year. When do you think the next album will arrive?
Well, you really should release a new album every couple of months. So we're already late.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that June 14th at Hughes Room was the official release. So we would like September 16, I think, yeah, to at least perhaps start the process, which would make it, if it's the same length of time, it would make it 2 years. But I would like to actually have the album done by September of next year.
Yeah, we've already got a song list. Well, we've got several lists, but it's...
Yeah, I'd imagine that
we definitely have enough
it.
Material, yeah. And it just depends what's the feel, and then finding the funding. And
we have to see how this one
that.
Goes, too. I mean, it has to go. If it doesn't pan out enough, then what the heck, eh?
No, still got it. Yeah.
I can always wash dishes.
It's been a great pleasure having you join us. We're going to finish with another track from the album. What would you like us to play?
Well, I think Don't Blame It On Me features the both of us, because there's a few songs on the album where we trade off the vocals, but this is where we're the two voices, top to bottom, on this song.
When we played this at Hughes Room, a promoter or somebody was with Bev, and she said, oh, that song is radio ready. But yeah, that's true. It's radio ready.
Alan Fraser, Marion Gerard, it's been a great pleasure to have you join us today. This is Fraser and Gerard with Don't Blame It On Me from their self-titled album, which came out this year. It's a fabulous album, definitely worth checking out.
Thank
if you want to get more information on Fraser and Gerard, remember you can check out their website at fraserandgerard.com. You've been listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
Way.